Well, I want to start today's lesson with a question. And it's a question just to kind of get things going and to think about where we're heading in today's lesson. And that's simply this: how well do you listen? Now, I can admit to you that I tend to struggle in the listening department. In fact, I've always struggled with this. When I was a teenager, I did not listen very well at all. In fact, one time I was at an arena tour for a conference in the 90s. So I was a teenager in the 90s. And the conference was called True Love Waits. And it was all about abstinence. And it was about young men watching what they look at. And it's about women being careful with what they wear. And I was at this huge conference. It's in the arena in the Spectrum in Philadelphia. And the girl that I was crushing on really hard got up, and all of a sudden she went down front. And I was like, sweet, altar call. So I started to make my way down front right behind her. And I didn't take notice of the fact that there were other people that were also walking down there, but they were all the same gender. And so as we get down to the front, the MC of the conference is standing there, and he says, "Oh my goodness, how amazing is this? All these young women have gathered together to take a stand for purity and to be careful with the way that they dress and to dress modestly. And all of these young women were all standing down front." And he then says, "And isn't it great to see that one young man has come down?" And I was like, wow, sweet, a guy came down too. And sure enough, it was me. So the Jumbotron pans over, you know, the camera's on my face, and here I am standing there, the only guy at the True Love Waits conference that is down front with a bunch of women. It was... My wife and my kids will tell you that I probably still struggle to listen, because listening is hard, right? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. And watching is hard too, because, you know, I get easily distracted. Well, another question I want to ask you that kind of goes beyond this, not just how well do you listen, but let's take it a step further. I'm going to ask you this question: how well do you listen to people? How well do you listen to people? Here's the interesting thing about listening to people. If you truly listen to people, they'll tell you what they need. It's true. If we listen to our coworkers, our friends, and if we actually pay attention to what they're saying, they might not come out and say it, but they tell us what they need. Now, I want to share with you that one of the most revolutionary listening devices is the stethoscope. Excuse me. It's the stethoscope. It was created in 1816 by the impressively named René Theophilin Hyacinth Laennec. Yeah, try to say that five times fast. So this guy invented the stethoscope in the early 1800s. And it was an instrument that was used to actually, he was able to listen to a lot of the different conditions of people's chests to observe what was their ailment. In fact, he is quoted as saying, "Listen to your patients. They're telling you how to heal them." I mean, did you catch that? The guy who invented the stethoscope was saying that if you simply listen to your patients, their body will communicate to you what they need. You just have to listen carefully enough. I mean, deep down, your friends, your family, your neighbors, they all know what needs or what they need to heal them. But we have to be still enough and quiet enough and listen deep enough to actually hear what they're saying. We have to listen. Ultimately, it's paying attention to people. And we're in this series, The Unlikely Disciple. Today, we're going to learn how Peter, the most unlikely of all the disciples, really learned how to not just listen to people, but also to see them. And we're going to look at this really incredible story today that I think is going to help us to understand how Peter's perspective was changing. And so this is a great place for us to move to the started out section of our talk sheet. We're going to go back into that question of how well do you listen and how well do you listen to people, and as well as just kind of dialogue and get things going as we move into the talk it out section, which is next. So if you haven't already, go to our website, trinitynazarene.org. There's a tab at the top, Trinity Anywhere, And on that tab, you can find the content for the video today, plus the PDF of the talk sheet. So when you're ready, press pause, go to the talk sheet, utilize the talk sheet to go deeper into the content of the message. And then if you're watching this, especially with a group, when you're done having that initial conversation, you'll press play and the video will automatically go to the next section to as we jump into today's scripture. So I want to invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 3. So we're in Acts chapter 1 and 2 last week. This week, we're in Acts chapter 3. And it's here that, Peter had already stood up on the day of Pentecost. And there was a progression that we've already seen in Peter's life. He went from being the son of Jonah to Simon Peter to Simon to Peter to the rock. He now is standing as what Jesus intended him from the very beginning to be, the rock for the other apostles, and to be the leader that Jesus knew that he always was designed to be. It took a while to get there, let's just be honest. This progression was not easy, but now he is the rock, and now he is operating with a different perspective. And so we're going to see that him and John are heading to the temple, and on their way, they're going to have an interaction with a person that maybe previously they had overlooked before. So we're in Acts chapter 3, starting right at verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. Now, there's a couple of things we need to know as we set this scene. First of all, it wouldn't have been uncommon for there to be hundreds of beggars that were outside of this temple gate, and especially the Temple Gate Beautiful, because in the Jewish tradition, they were called to take care of beggars. They were called to take care of the homeless and the lame. And so oftentimes, you would see lame people. Even today in Jerusalem, you would find a lot of beggars outside of the temple and asking for money and trying to get taken care of. And so one of the other things that we have to notice about the scripture is we have to ask the question and understand that how long was this man lame? Well, the scripture tells us from birth. The other thing, too, are the unsung heroes that are not mentioned in the scripture here, but it's the group of friends and the family members that would drop this lame person off outside the temple every day. I mean, think about that. The lame person didn't get there on his own, so he had to have a group of people that dropped him off in order to position him in the best place possible for him to receive care and to receive even just money to be able to help him to survive. So there's quite a few things that are going on here. The other thing that I think is interesting about this story is that Peter and John probably passed this beggar before. In fact, Jesus probably passed this same beggar. And I'm going to point to that later in the scripture so that you can see why do we believe that or why do we see that. So continue with me to Acts chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. What else would he expect? But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Now, this phrase that's used here, "looked at him intently," is really key for this passage. And the reason is because it is actually the Greek word atanizo. Every time I preach out of this particular scripture, I have to mention this word atanizo, because it doesn't just mean that Peter and John noticed that there was a beggar. They actually saw the beggar. And it wasn't that they just saw him with their eyes. It means that they saw a child of God. It means they didn't just take into consideration that, well, he was a beggar and, well, he's lame and he's been there a lot, but they actually saw a child of God on this mat outside the temple begging for money. Now, what's interesting is they didn't give him money, because the truth is they didn't give him what he wanted. They gave him what he needed. And so I want to ask this question. When was the last time that you really saw somebody? I mean, we know that antanizo means attention. It means to really see somebody, not just notice them. When was the last time you really saw somebody? And, you know, when we talk about the difference between noticing and seeing, to notice somebody means is to recognize that somebody is there. You know, we experience this when we walk down the street. We can notice that there are people that are walking maybe next to us or walking across the street. And you don't necessarily see them, but you notice that they're there. But again, seeing is actually laying your eyes. It's giving your attention. It's being able to notice, I just used the word notice. It's being able to see somebody and more than just notice that they were there. In fact, I love this little conversation between Sherlock Holmes and his kind of sidekick, Watson. In fact, this is an excerpt of a story. It says, "When I hear you give your reasons," Watson remarked, "the thing always appears to me to be so ridiculously simple that I could easily do it myself. Though at each successive instance of your reasoning, I am baffled until you explain your process. And yet I believe that my eyes are as good as yours." "Quite so," Sherlock answered, throwing himself down into an armchair. "You notice, but you do not see. The distinction is clear. For example, you have frequently seen the steps which lead up to the hall, to this room. Frequently. How often? Well, some hundreds of times. Then how many steps are there?" "How many? I don't know." "Quite so. You have not seen. And yet you have noticed. That is just my point. Now I know that there are 17 steps because I have both seen and noticed." This interchange between Sherlock Holmes and Watson helps us to recognize that there is a deeper level when you truly give somebody your sight, when you truly give them your antanizo, your attention. And Luke here is using the specific word to recognize that Peter and John didn't just see the lame person. They really saw a child of God. They went deeper into seeing who he was. How many people in your life are hurting? Think about this. Who needs your love? Who needs your care? Who needs your attention? Who needs your antanizo? Who is it that you see around you and you really begin to see them and you don't just see what they want, but you see what they need? Another question is, who are you sent to? We talk a lot about being sent people, and that's something that's so important. At the end of this lesson, we're going to even talk about the fact that we are sent. Here's the thing that I know about sent people. Sent people see people. Sent people don't just notice that there's people around them. They actually see the people. And they see the people that God has placed in their care. So I want us to consider what is it that we need to begin looking? Where is it that we need to be looking? And who is it that God has placed in our life to be able to care for? Just like in this instance here, Peter and John, they didn't stumble across this lame beggar. They knew that this lame beggar was going to need somebody who was really going to care for them. Jesus saw people. See, Peter and John, they were just doing what they saw Jesus do. Jesus saw people. He actually taught the disciples how to see the people around them. In fact, Peter stopped because Jesus stopped. Multiple times we see in the story of Jesus how often he would stop and he wouldn't just notice people, he would really see them. And Jesus was always drawn to the people that everybody else was overlooking. In fact, I want you to think about this. He was drawn to the people that were right in front of him because Jesus loved the unlovable. He reaches for the unreachable and he touches the untouchable. Consider that. Consider that that is who Jesus is. It's not just who he was, it's who he is. And he taught the apostles, he taught the disciples, he taught Peter and John to do the same thing, to love the unlovable, to reach the unreachable, and to touch the untouchable. So Peter and John are just continuing here Jesus's ministry. Now, this is my favorite part. My favorite part actually is here, right here in verse 7 and 8. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the lame man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Now, this is a huge deal. This last line that he went into the temple with them is monumental for the life of this. Now, he's not lame anymore, but it was the first time that he ever would have gone inside the temple. Because you have to remember, you have to know, during this time, lame people were not invited into the temple. Blind people were not invited into the temple. Broken people could not go into the temple. They would have believed that they were unclean. They were damaged goods. And so it amazes me to think that we know that this man has been lame from birth, which means he has never been in the temple. And all of a sudden, for the first time in his life, he's able to go in and to worship with those who were going to worship. I mean, the lame, the blind, the sick, they're all left outside the temple. But I want to tell you something. Not Jesus's church. Not Jesus's church. In fact, Jesus said in Mark 2, verse 17, and I love the message here. The message actually says, who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? I'm here inviting the sin sick, not the spiritually fit. Aren't you thankful for that? I love the fact that the lame man here represents multiple things for us. He doesn't just represent those who are physically affirmed. He actually represents for us as all of us. We all at some point are broken. We're all broken and we're in need of a relationship with the Savior. And beyond that, the first opportunity that we potentially have to have that relationship with the Savior is when one of his disciples sticks out his hands and helps him up. I mean, that's really cool. We're going to get into that here in just a few minutes. The whole idea that this is the first time that he's ever been able to go into the temple baffles my mind, because Jesus never created the church to be a country club for the elite. In fact, the church is a hospital for sick people. It's a hospital for sick people. That's what we get to be a part of, not a country club for the elite. And too many times we find ourselves in this world, in this arena of quote-unquote church, and we're missing the point that even Jesus said, it's not the healthy you need a doctor, it's the sick. And I've come for the sin sick, not for the spiritually fit. All right, we're going to stop here, and we're going to move now to the Talk It Out section of our talk sheet. Now here in the Talk It Out section, we're going to review the passages of scripture that we have already referenced and kind of talk through how do we understand God's word and what's it telling us and saying to us here in the Talk It Out section. Again, I hope you're watching this with a group of people that you've gathered together, or maybe your family. And when you're ready, you can press play and it'll automatically go to the next section. Maybe you're actually enjoying this content today and you just want to continue. That's okay. Just let the video continue to run. And after 5 seconds, it'll automatically move to the next section. Well, I want to go back to the last couple of verses that we read together here in Acts chapter 3. In fact, the reason I want to go back there is because I believe that there is a picture of discipleship and there's a picture of relationship with God that really comes to light when we look at the story of the lame man. Again, you've already heard me reference the fact that the lame man represents at one point all of us. Because all of us, when we were born spiritually lame, We're born distant from God. We're born with this propensity towards evil, not towards good. And so we need relationship and we need Jesus to save us because we're lost and we're broken. And so I love when we look back here at verse 7, it says, then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. That's really key. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. So Peter not only saw the man, and I think that we need to go beyond just the idea of seeing people, really seeing people, but he actually reached out and he defiled himself by touching the hand of a lame person before he's supposed to go into the temple was a no-no. And in fact, it was Jesus who taught Peter how to do that. Peter constantly touched lepers. He touched the unclean. He touched lame people. He put his hands on the eyes of the blind. I mean, these were all things that the Pharisees and the Sadducees would say, you can't do that, especially before you're about to walk into the temple. But Peter did, because Jesus did. So we have here that Peter helps him up. And I think that we as either current disciples or future disciples of Jesus, we have to go beyond just seeing people. We need to extend our hand and help them up. I believe that there are people in your life who God has placed there for you to help up. And so now it's just that it's thinking and praying and processing, who are those people in my life? And maybe it's just one person. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's your children. So the discipleship is represented here very well. In fact, discipleship isn't just about identifying the need, and it's about also offering a hand. You know, they could have said, hey, you're lame. And the lame beggar would have been like, yep, that's right. And it's not just about identifying that they were lame. It's about sticking your hand out and helping them up. So verse 8, here we go. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, praising God, he went into the temple with them. Now, I love this. I think if we slow down long enough to be able to look at the scripture, because again, here in this last section of the message, of the lesson, it's all about application. How can we apply the content of the lesson today to our lives? Well, here it is. See, this has a great understanding for us to see the relationship with God. In fact, I think step one, what we see here in the scripture, is walk. You know, the lame beggar didn't all of a sudden jump up and start doing laps. Now, we see that story in other places in scripture where Jesus heals a man who is crippled, and all of a sudden the crippled man gets up and he starts doing sprints around the temple, right? That's not this story. This lame man gets up and he begins to walk. I love the picture here of us in restored relationship with Christ. Many times we have to get used to using these new spiritual feet. We need to get used to the fact that we've never walked before. And so we need to start by walking. Now, look at this. Step two, he started to leap. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. A person who was born lame, and we know that they were in their 40s, through other passages of scripture. It's interesting because you don't get up and start leaping. You start with walking. And once you feel comfortable walking, then you start to leap. Now, the word leap here, again, is used intentionally because it's actually a reference to deer. And Luke is doing something really interesting here. Now, I don't have it up here on the screen because this is kind of like bonus material, right? Isaiah 35 talks about that when the Messiah comes, the blind will see, the lame will walk, and they'll leap like a deer. So Luke is helping us to see that what's happening in this person's life, the lame beggar's life, is he got up, he started to walk, and then he started to leap. Then we get to step three, he begins to praise, right? Praise for God doesn't just all of a sudden go from 1 to 100, right? It starts out slow. There's the walking, there's leaping, and then there's praise. So once you get to that praise point, it's recognizing, look at what God did in me. Now, obviously, can you praise from the beginning? Absolutely. But if we're being realistic about our relationship with Christ, it starts with walking. Then it gets to leaping. and recognizing, wow, I'm using these new spiritual feet, which I've never used before. And then it gets to praise, recognizing that it's God who gave me the ability to use these new spiritual feet. And then the last thing, as the scripture says, was that he went and followed Peter and John into the temple. Now, again, that's kind of like going to church, but I want to call it step four here is community. Community. He entered into community. That is so key. It's so important for us to recognize that we are not meant to do this spiritual journey alone. We are not meant to do the spiritual journey in isolation. In fact, the devil works really, really well and works overtime in isolation. So community is hugely important. I hope that, again, you're watching this content in community, that there's a group of people that you're with, because Jesus wants you to be in community. He doesn't want you to stay out on a mat outside the temple. He wants you to come in, and he wants you to go into the places where you're going to be loved and cared for and accepted. That is key. Now, I can't speak for a number of churches if they're going to love and accept you if you walk through their doors. I hope and pray that they will, but I can't speak for Trinity. And I can tell you that our goal would be when you walk through the doors that you're going to be loved well, that you're going to be cared for well, and that you will have an opportunity to enter into community, because that's key. So this passage of scripture, just that verse 8, is telling us a tremendous amount of information about our relationship with God. Walk, leap, praise, and be involved in community. Because when we do that, it draws us closer into relationship with God. Okay, we're going to finish up right here. And again, remember, this is application. Apply this to your life. Verses 9 through 11. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. Now, this is amazing. This guy now becomes like the chief evangelist. Peter and John, they do their part. Now, all of a sudden, this guy gets up and people are blown away. They're blown away because now he's using these new spiritual feet and people are noticing there's something different about this guy. So all of a sudden he says, the scripture tells us, all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, which is a really fancy word for porch. They went to Solomon's porch where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. His life became an example of what can happen when God gets a hold of your life. His life became the example. They were like, wait a minute, isn't it the lame guy that we pass him all the time? Like, we see him all the time. Now, all of a sudden, because of Peter and John changing their gaze, noticing new people, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, their perspective completely changed. They said, listen, I don't have money. I know you want money, but money is going to be temporary. It's not going to solve the problem. Instead, what I want to give to you is the gift of being able to walk. And by the way, if you accept this gift, then people around you are going to notice that God did something different in you. And when they notice, your opportunity will be to share with them what God did. And when you share with them what God did, more and more people will come to relationship with Christ. I mean, do you see this? Like, do you see the discipleship that's happening here? Walk, leap, praise, community. Peter, we are learning from such the unlikely disciple, but he's teaching us so much about the fact that, you know what, there's people all around in our lives who we either need to associate ourselves with to get better, or we need to help get better, and we need to extend our hand out, help them up. And then when we do, God will do the rest. Amen? Well, let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for our time together. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in these lessons. I thank you that you used the unlikely disciple Peter to change even his perspective, that he saw this lame man and he didn't just walk by. And we know that he wasn't just healing him physically, but he was setting up an understanding for us that people around us, some need physical healing, others need spiritual healing. And this lame man represents all of us, that we too are broken before the Lord, and we are in need of relationship with you, Jesus. So Lord, when we do, I pray that we would get up and we would start simply walking, using these new spiritual muscles and these new spiritual bones. And that when we do, we'll start to leap because we can trust that these spiritual bones will hold us up. And then beyond that, Lord Jesus, we begin to praise because we then can have tested and proven your love for us, because you have loved the unlovables, touched the untouchables, and you have reached for the unreachable. And then, Lord Jesus, ultimately, our goal is to be in community. So thank you for using the unlikely disciple Peter to teach us such a valuable lesson today. We love you and we give you thanks and praise for this in your name. Amen. Well, as we end each of our times together, and as you have heard me over the last several weeks, we've changed the last couple of words of our benediction to notice that we are sent. Remember what I said today, send people, see people. So make sure you don't just notice that there's people around you, really see them this week. Let's say the benediction together. And as we do, I encourage you just to hold out your hands and to receive this benediction for this week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Say it with me. We are sent. Have a great day.